what's coming up now on Established in the Faith.
Your understanding of the finished work of Christ and your obedience to that determines your quality of life and your longevity of life, which means it's important for you to have your butt in the church house on Sunday morning.
Hello, neighbor, and welcome today to Established in the Faith. This is Pastor James Pierce of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina, and how so very pleased and happy we are to be with you today. Got a great message lined up for you. Hope you can stay with us for the next 30 minutes. If not, let me encourage you to go over to establishedinthefaith.com. There you can listen to today's message as well as many others that are in podcast form. Well, we're going to go on into the message now. Hope and pray it'll be a blessing to you.
With me, please, if you will, to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Move down, if you will, to verse 15. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. And Naomi said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law, Orpah, is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me." Notice that little phrase there. "The Lord do so to me." And what this is referring to is a statement that Naomi made back up in verse 13 where she said, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me." She said, "The Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death depart me from thee." Ruth has just experienced one of the greatest blessings that a person can ever receive, which is the great gift of salvation. And this of which I have just read to you today is her statement of faith. It is, without a doubt, one of the greatest affirmations of salvation found anywhere in the entirety of the Word of God. Ruth, in essence, turns her back on everything she has ever known and throws in her lot with the people of God, those who worship the one true God, Jehovah God, which characterizes all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is Ruth saved, but as we read on a little later, we find that her faith lands her a place in the genealogy of Christ. And there can be no greater honor than that. But her salvation is surrounded by so much tragedy. And it raises some pretty tough questions. And in this message today, I'd like to address some of those questions in a message entitled "Blessings in the Midst of Tragedy." The story begins in Bethlehem during a time of famine. There was a man by the name of Elimelech who owned a portion of land there in Bethlehem, but the famine was of such an extent that it affected their quality of life, and he heard that there was food down in Moab, so he elected to move his entire family down into Moab, which was forbidden of God. That's sin number one. Sin number two the land that God gave to his people, they were to hold on to that land. They were not to give it up for any reason. But despite that, he gave up his inheritance. Sin number two. And you would say, well, Brother James, a man's got to do what a man's got to do to support his family. And my hat is off to such individuals. You can't find many men today who will do whatever it takes to support their family. But if you'll notice, in Ruth chapter 1, verse 2, latter part of that verse, the Bible says, there's a little short phrase there that says, he continued there. The idea is that he continued to stay there longer than he should have. Long after the famine was over in Israel, Elimelech chose to stay there in Moab outside the will of God. And without any further detail, without any more information given, tragedy strikes in verse 3. The Bible says that Elimelech died. And if that ain't bad enough, in verse 5, the Bible says that his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died, leaving Naomi now with no family. Which brings me to question number one. Can a Christian die prematurely? I think this right here, which I've just explained to you today, is example number one. But example number two is in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother that your days be long upon the earth. Which is an honor to authority. Not just your mom and daddy, but an honor to authority. But more serious than that, on a spiritual level, the Apostle Paul said, as it pertains to the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Notice the terminology. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. Whosoever shall eat this bread, the bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given on Calvary's cross. The blood is represented by the grape juice when we take the Lord's Supper. Represents the blood that was shed on Calvary for our sins. He said, if you take of this unworthily, what is he talking about? First of all, I believe he's talking about a person who really doesn't mean business with God. They're not sorry or repentant of their sins, and it shows in their lifestyle. Now, if you sit down and talk with such individuals, they can talk a good game. They're quick to point out the sins of other people, but conveniently ignore their own or justify their own actions. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Their lifestyle don't line up with the Word of God. They don't mean business with God. They play in church. Some of you watching right now, you're playing church. And the hand of the Lord's about to come out against you. The next group of people that this could be talking about, taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, are those who believe in the cross of Christ, but they also believe you have to do other things. You got to be baptized in my tank to be saved. You've got to speak in other tongues to be saved. You've got to fast ever so often to be saved. I could go on and on and on with a bunch of rules and regulations and all this kind of thing. When a person, a group, denomination makes such statements. In essence, what they are saying is this: what Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross is not enough, and you've got to add your little 2 cents. You've got to do your part to be saved. And yes, you've got to do your part to be saved, but you need to understand what your part is. What is my part, Brother James? Your part is to place your faith exclusively in Christ and what He did at Calvary to save you from your sins. That is your part. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will start working in your life, and then you need to follow after the Spirit. He'll tell you to lay the cigarettes down. He'll tell you to stop listening to that. He'll tell you to stop doing this, that, and the other. He'll tell you to start going to church. Are you hearing me today? The Holy Spirit will lead and work in your life to conform you more into the image of Christ. But if you've got it in your head, well, I believe Christ, Brother James, but I believe I've got to keep Saturday. Brother James, I just don't believe in eating pork. God help you. Because I'm going to put a Boston butt on the grill from time to time, and I'm going to eat. And I'm going to have me some ribs once in a while. But if you're thinking in your mind, I've got to do this, that, and the other, and not do that over there, and this somehow saves me, you're unworthy of the body of Christ. Let me go a little further. It can also be a person who says, I believe in the cross of Christ, but I also believe that there are other ways to get to heaven. I believe that if a Muslim will follow the Quran, and they go through their regimen every day, and they pray, whatever the case, God will honor that and let them into heaven. My friend, you are lukewarm in the faith. And when Paul said, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily, you are eating and drinking unworthily, and such a person is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's not my words. That's the book. In other words, if you don't change your direction, if you don't change your object of faith to Christ and what He did at Calvary, and that alone, judgment is going to be in your future. And Paul said in verse 28, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. Do you really mean business with God? Ask yourself that question today. Do you really mean business with God? Is your faith anchored exclusively in the finished work of Christ, or is your faith in something else? Are you trusting in the cross of Christ to conform you into the image of Christ? Or are you lukewarm in your faith and trusting other things? You see, this was the problem with the folks over in Galatia. The people over in the church at Galatia, they believed in the virgin birth. They believed that Jesus lived a perfect life. They believed that He died on Calvary. They believed that He was buried and was raised from the dead the third day. They believed that He was seated by the right hand of the Father. They believed in all of that. And you say, well, James, that's good preaching. That's good doctrine there. But they also believed, and this is where the problem was at, they also believed that you had to be circumcised to be saved. They also believed you had to keep the Sabbath day and the feast days and all of these other Jewish laws. And the Apostle Paul said that your faith is divided and you're frustrating the grace of God. He said in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you're trusting in anything else other than Christ and Him crucified for salvation or sanctification, Christ is dead in vain. He also said in Galatians 5 and verse 4 that Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So we have to examine ourselves. Going back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. And if you really mean business with God, if you're trusting in Christ and what He did exclusively of anything else, He said, let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, many in the church today are sick and dying an early death because they do not properly discern the Lord's body. Get this. Your understanding of the finished work of Christ determines your quality and longevity of life. Let me say it again. Your understanding of the finished work of Christ and your obedience to that determines your quality of life and your longevity of life. And if what I've said is correct, and I believe it is, then not only is the gospel important for the lost world out here, but the teaching of the gospel is important for God's people, which means it's important for you to have your butt in the church house on Sunday morning. Let me rephrase that. It's important for you to have your butt in the right church on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday school, and any other time the church is open. You need to be in the presence of God somewhere. You need to place yourself in an environment that is conducive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And the only way the Holy Spirit will work is through and by the finished work of Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. That's how the Holy Spirit works, is through the finished work of Christ. He will not work outside of that. So a person, a Christian, can die prematurely by not properly understanding the finished work of Christ and going off in a direction that's not right. Naomi is now destitute of her family because of a wrong direction. But God works all things for our good. God works all things for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And we can find a blessing in the midst of this tragedy. And the first blessing I want to point out is this. It took me a while to get here. Can anybody tell me where we're at on time? Is it April yet? Keep going. The first blessing that we find, Ruth chapter 1, verse 13. Naomi said, the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. My friend, you might not think it's a blessing, but when God does not give up on you, my friend, that's a blessing. when you go off in the wrong direction and God keeps dealing with you and working with you, the Holy Spirit will woo you and deal with you and work with you to bring you back into the way you ought to go. But there are times when His hand has to go out against you. And my friend, that's a blessing. You might not think of it as being a blessing at the time because it looks like everything in the world is falling apart. Naomi said, the Lord's hand has gone out against me. I've lost my husband. I've lost my children. The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. But that was a blessing. It's a blessing when God works behind the scenes and His hand goes out against us. In the verses leading up to verse 13, Naomi basically told both of those girls, I've got nothing else for you. There's nothing for me here in Moab. I hear that there's bread again in Bethlehem, and I'm going back to my people. I'm going back to Bethlehem. Y'all will probably be better off to stay here. You know the area. Go back to your mother's house, whatever the case. In all of this, Naomi has come to the end of herself. And my friend, it is a blessing when we finally come to the end of ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. Self is our biggest problem, ladies and gentlemen. Self. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. Take up the cross daily and follow me. When you come to the end of yourself, but we don't get there quickly, we don't get there easily, and sadly and regrettably, a lot of times it takes a tragedy to get us to the end of ourselves. But oh, what a blessing it is when you come to the end of yourself. The Apostle Paul came to the end of himself. In Romans chapter 7, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So we've all got to come to the end of ourselves. A lot of times it takes a tragedy to get us there, but oh, what a blessing it is. Here's another blessing. Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. Orpah was grieved when she heard Naomi say these things. She lifted up her voice and wept. But in verse 15, the Bible says that she turned and went back unto her people and unto her gods. This tragedy presented Orpah with an opportunity to be saved. And what a blessing it is to live in a country today where you can hear the gospel and make a choice to be saved and worship God as you want to. What a blessing it is to have the freedom today to worship God. The freedom that we have today came about because of tragedy. So many men and women have fought for this country, gave their lives and died so that you and I could sit here in this service today and I have the freedom to preach the gospel. Not too many countries have that freedom today. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the opportunity of a lifetime. We have the opportunity that a lot of countries don't have. And what a blessing it is, a blessing in the midst of tragedy. But this tragedy presented Orpah with a choice. Sadly, she made the wrong choice. She chose her gods. The direction she took, sadly and regrettably, is the direction that much of the world out here takes. And in her choice, Orpah fades off the pages of Scripture and we never hear from her again. But Ruth said in verse 16, I'm going with you, Naomi. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. This statement is Ruth's affirmation of salvation, which is the greatest blessing that a person can ever receive. But it brings me to another question. Elimelech left his inheritance and disobeyed God by going down into Moab because of the famine. He continued there long after the famine was over, and the tragedy is that him and his two sons died there, leaving Naomi heartbroken. But had he not done this thing, Ruth would not have been saved. So how do we correlate all of this? How can such a blessing come out of something that is so obviously wrong? Y'all come on back next week and I'll tell you.
The program today has been a blessing to you, and you would like to have a free CD copy of this message, just give us a call or text us at 252-299-4234. You can also go to establishedinthefaith.com. There you will find today's message as well as many others that are in podcast form. But perhaps you need someone to just talk to just pray with you about something. Again, just give us a call at 252-299-4234. This program is an outreach ministry of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina, as well depends on the prayerful and generous financial support of listeners like you. To contact us or to contribute to this ministry, go to establishedinthefaith.com, click on the Donate tab. It's easy, and all donations are safe and secure through PayPal. You can also mail us at Established in the Faith, P.O. Box 601, Bailey, North Carolina, 27807. We look forward to hearing from you.
I'm Haven.
And I'm Juliana.
And you've been listening to Established in the Faith with our dad, James Pierce. He's the pastor of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina.
That's right, girls. And every Sunday morning we have Sunday school starting at 9 o'clock and worship service at 10, as well as Bible study and prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. All of these services are broadcast to the parking lot for those of you who wish to participate drive-in style.
And the church is located at 744 Friendship Church Road in Middlesex, North Carolina, near the EMED community. On the website, if you click on the Contact Us tab, Google Maps will bring you right to us. We would love to have you, and we hope to see you there.
And we hope today's program has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.